With the LCPFB Subcommittee on a Balanced Budget. And Commissioner, we did receive an action alert from the NCSL, and Senator Pogemiller and I thought it would be a good idea to have a conversation about where we stand with the Medicaid dollars. And by coincidence, then, after we had decided to meet, found out there was an important conference call that began at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So maybe that would be a good beginning point if you could share with members here your take on the information that was provided. And that was the National Governors Conference,
yes,
on the line, as well as the Budget
National,
Officers.
Our Budget Officers Association. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Tom Hansen, Commissioner of Management and Budget. Just to remind the members that Kristen Dibdahl, to my right, is our new State Budget Director. Mr. Showalter has been promoted to our Deputy Commissioner and more broader responsibilities. We had a meeting, had a conference call this afternoon, and with myself, Ms. Dibdahl, and Mr. Showalter, as well as Mr. Mossman and Mr. Marks and others from my staff at MMB, and it was a 3 o'clock conference call with NGA, that's the National Governors Association, as well as the National Association of State Budget Officers. The Ray Shapak is the NGA executive director. David Quam is their legislative director, and they proceeded to give us a summary of where things stood in Washington at this time. Just the highlights. The bill, this tax extender bill, passed the Senate and is now sitting in the House. Their words, and I will quote, an 80% probability, unquote, that it will pass. There are a couple other bills that relate to the Harkin bill and the Representative Miller bill that relate to stabilization and other types of funding. But as with regards to FMAP, they gave it, and this was their words, 80% probability, quote unquote. They think that it will, in their words, start moving before Memorial Day. It's sitting in Ways and Means in the House. And we specifically asked, what about our deadline of May 17th? Do you think a FMAP provision will pass by May 17th? They said that is significantly unlikely, that Congress generally works to deadlines, and they think that their deadline on this bill, and I should add, this bill's important. It not only has FMAP, but probably the more immediate concerns is the COBRA and unemployment insurance extensions are in this bill. They run out at the end of May. So they need to pass those two provisions for the unemployment extension and the COBRA payments for unemployed workers by the end of May. So they felt that it was much more likely that Congress will work to its deadline. They're going on break on May 29th, and that it was likely at some point, which would for us would be the week after our legislative session is done, May 17th, sometime that next week, the week of the 24th, almost up to the 29th, that something would pass. And as I said, there's a Harkin bill that contains some NGA or contains some stabilization funding. There's some other types of funding in the Representative Miller bill in the House. Those they just happen to mention, but there are other state funding bills. That is essentially what they told us this afternoon at our 3 to 4 p.m. call. I mean, I know I see the action alert. I don't know if the action alert was to try and get them to hurry up and that it was in jeopardy because it was taking too long. But I have read this, and that's pretty much the summary.
And that was my thought, Commissioner, to perhaps see if we could, as legislative bodies, encourage them to act sooner rather than later. And some of us have corresponded to, for example, I have to the Minnesota delegation to encourage that. Members, are there questions at this point? Commissioner, I do have one. I did have a brief conversation with our staff that was on the line, Matt Mousman and Bill Marks. Apparently, there are a few things that we need to do to adjust some dates or timelines, and it's my understanding that someone in your office is preparing language to do that. Maybe you could comment
yes.
on what we need to do relative to changes
sure.
in current law to make sure we're eligible for the 408 whenever that comes about.
Right. Mr. Chair, I'm for the record, I'm Kristen Dibdahl. We need to make sure that some of the budget initiatives that were passed in the 2009 session do not occur on January 1 of 2011 because they would be in violation of CMS's maintenance of effort requirements. And so staff from DHS and staff from our office have been preparing that contingency language to say that these initiatives would not go forward on January 1 through basically the end of fiscal year 11, and this would be the contingent appropriation section related to that. So that is the language that we believe we need to have in place so that when and if Congress does act on the enhanced FMAP, we can be ready to receive it.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, the when we passed the budget last year, the FMAP ran out, as is current law, at the end of calendar 10. So it's a whole different set of rules. That there's no additional FMAP in 2011. So we have a different set of rules in place in our statute that we're now at least need to get ready. This money, and it's part of our conversation, if the money is to come after session, we want to make sure we have this passed. I also want to remind, and I know you know, but as you recall from a year ago when we got FMAP, we have prior statutory authority that you've already granted. We spend the money as it comes. So it's not necessary to grant us appropriation authority for this money. It's just we need to change the rules.
Representative Solberg.
I just need to have a little bit of understanding when you said about a contingency appropriation. What do you mean by that? And do we have to? I need to have a little bit better understanding of
sure.
your word contingency.
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, these are items CMS requires that the state not change anything related to Medicaid eligibility policy or procedures. And so just to give you an example, there was an initiative passed in the 2009 session related to level of care. It relates to individuals' eligibility for nursing home care. We cannot proceed with that as we planned on January 1. And so if we delay that initiative, it has a cost. And so what we need to do is put together a contingency language to say that should the FMAP come to pass, we need additional appropriations for that item. Now, that item, just to be clear, has all been factored into the figure we've been talking about, which is the $408 million. So that has already been factored into that figure.
So the 408, then I assume, is that net?
That's correct.
Senator Sensham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and perhaps to Mr. Hansen. And I don't know if you have this or not.
I do.
I'm just kind of looking at it, and your testimony suggested, and it's, I understand it's through NGA, that the money was probably coming, but it would be towards the end of May. And then I kind of read this, and I see comments along the lines that it may be on the ropes, and there's going to have to be some adjustments in either revenue or spending for this to perhaps pass. It seems to me conflicting messages. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting you didn't hear what you heard, but it seems to me the message of NGA is a little different than this. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or not.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, I think we're faced with a fluid situation in Washington, D.C., and we need to begin a dialogue back and forth about the level of risk that we want to take going forward as we prepare our budget in the last few weeks. And maybe what we want to do is, you know, figure out, you know, if it's a $536 million problem, we have 408 that the governor has booked from the federal government. I know the House has as well. Maybe what we do is we focus on the 128 first. Let's knock that off. Kind of the same philosophy that we did on round one with the, you know, we took care of the $312 million. Let's do what we know right now, and I know there are bills moving in the House, and then we have to start talking about what type of contingency we were all comfortable with putting forward, and whether and how we're going to manage the risk of that money not coming after we adjourn.
Senator Senjum, is that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, and I apologize, I was a couple minutes late. as I understand the 408, that's a six-month extension. Is that right, of the FMAP? Or is that more than 6 months?
That's correct.
So Mr. Chair and Commissioner Hansen, I guess, you know, I have a little bit of concern. I'd like to understand the administration's perspective on, you know, what could be argued as kind of, you know, just kicking the can down the road. I'm not going to say no to $408 million. I know the governor put that money in his budget proposal. I know the House is counting on that money. But, you know, aren't we just putting off the day of reckoning? Aren't we going to have to deal with some of these bigger issues as we try to balance the budget, if not this biennium, next biennium? This money's going away at some point in time, isn't it?
Commissioner
Mr.
Hansen.
Chairman, Representative Coles, the governor's budget recommendations take the 12 and 13 deficit from about 5.6, whatever it was, down to about 2.8. So we are cognizant of that and have tried to factor that in, and that's why we've asked the legislature to ratify the unallotments, because then it carries the solution forward. So we are aware of that and trying to bring that 12 and 13 number down as best we can within the realities of the situation.
And Mr. Chair, as a former
I'll bring it up after you're done.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
I'm sure you will, Senator Pogamiller. You know, as a former law clerk over across the street at the Court of Appeals, not at the Supreme Court, I know that we ought not spend a lot of time trying to figure out when the court is going to come forward with its decision. But you know, one of the contingencies is, of course, the unallotment litigation. And I'm curious what. Are we going to utilize this forum here, as Representative Zellers, or the bigger LCPFP, or I think that's the right acronym for the bigger committee? I mean, we could find ourselves in very short order having huge challenges as we approach the end of this session if Governor Plenty's unallotments are found to be unconstitutional. We're going to have a lot of work to do, and I'm just curious if some thought has been given to how we are going to address that contingency, or, you know, are we hoping the court Well, I guess I don't know. I'm curious, Mr. Chair, or Senator Pogemiller, you know, what we're doing to prepare for those contingencies. I think I'm hearing a little bit from Commissioner Hansen that, you know, we, at least from the administration's perspective, we should be thinking about what if we don't get this 408. I think we should be thinking about what if we have another $2.7 billion of challenge to deal with. So I'm not sure if anything's been discussed or if this is going to be the forum for that discussion, but if you can shed any light on that, Chairman Carlson, I would be happy to go report that back to my colleagues.
I think the forum for that discussion is probably yet to be determined. From my perspective, of course, we're watching carefully to make sure that we have some thoughts in mind depending on the court's ruling. As you and I have discussed in committee, our feeling was as long as the question was before the courts and we were still in session, that we wanted to give the court ample time to rule without the legislature responding in a particular way yet. But the Senate may have its own thoughts on that that question. We have, what, three Thursdays remaining, if I recall, in terms of when they might rule. I would guess, and this is just my speculation, that they probably wouldn't rule this Thursday with the events that are taking place in Rochester. It would probably be sometime after. Or it's in Minneapolis, that's right.
We thank Senator Pogemiller for the hospitality of his city.
Senator, Commissioner, I really just can't let – it is laughable what you said in terms of the governor's proposal bring the deficit down from 5.5 to whatever, 2-point-something. Yeah, if you assume all that school stuff is then shifted into the biennium after that, which is what the governor's proposal is, and if you assume that those various budget cuts that there are no votes in the legislature for, either Democrats – well, there are 9, apparently – Democrat or Republican, there are 9 Republican votes for it, or 10. I forget if it was 9 or 10. So, Commissioner, I really, just on a professional basis, I just hope you don't continue to say that, because that's just beyond the pale, in my judgment.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, we've had these discussions before. As far as the shift goes, I know that the House now has the shift in their K-12 bill. So an important indication, and something's going to have to be done to solve the tails. And if you don't like what we're doing, you're going to have 20 days to come up with something.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pogemiller,
that doesn't solve the tails. That pushes it off 2 more years. That's a factual matter. That's my point, Commissioner. It's one thing for a politician to say that somehow that solves it. It's another thing for the Commissioner of Finance to say that. It does not solve it. It just kicks it down the can another 2 years. That's my point.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, we pay the K-12 shift back when we want. There's not a mandate, and if we choose not to in 13 and 14. We've done the shift multiple times in the past. It serves as a budget reserve for the state. When times are better and we build the surplus up after we fill, you know this, after we fill the budget reserve, we then start, buy the shift off back to the 90-10, you know, when the surplus is there.
Senator Pogemiller.
Commissioner, I mean, you can say all that. You can say what you just said, but I would think that at some level you would want to be a little more straightforward about the actual circumstance that has been pointed out by 3 former governors, several speakers, several former majority leaders. The fact is there is no revenue to pay that back. That's the fact. And the structural deficit is getting worse, not better.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogemiller, I agree that there's a structural problem. I know that.
Okay, Any other discussion? We thought we would have a brief meeting today to just get your input or thoughts relative to what was going on in Washington, because we are down to the final few weeks. So we're going to have to continue to monitor this closely, that $408 million. And we'll have to have some discussions then, Commissioner, about the language that's needed so that those can be additional articles, I think, is what we probably need to do in both the Senate and House bills. So sooner that we get that language, it sounds like you're working on it already, because those bills are beginning to move through the process. And then the other thing is we'll probably have to get your thoughts on how you perceive our moving forward with the 408 under the timeline that I think we're under. It's obviously under both the action alert concerns and the conversation that you had as a part of the National Governor's Office and the budget officers, that the money won't be there before we constitutionally have to adjourn. So then the question becomes one, how we move forward with it.
That's true.
Senator Bogle.
Chairman, just briefly, Commissioner, I don't know if others are interested, but I would be interested. I think if the 408 is not here when we leave, I would be interested. I think from your perspective, you need to close a $200 million gap.
Yeah, you're good.
Because you have $200 million in your reserve. So at a minimum, you need to, I would suggest you need to give us a suggestion on how you would close your $200 million gap. So.
We're prepared
right now, but at some point.
Right, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pogermiller, we're prepared to do that. But I also think then that proposals from the both the House and the Senate on how to close that 408 or gap should be forthcoming as well. And I think it's a little, and we should sit down and talk about the number, but when you add the previous solution that we had on the table in this, I think the number's a little less than that. 200, but we'll get on the same page with your staff about what the number is.
Sure.
But I think it's important that both bodies come, you know, talk, that we all talk about contingency and put our proposals on the table.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I'm a little bit surprised, I guess, that we're just working on language now for, so it has to be inserted into a bill to be able to access the 408. In January, the governor had said, you know, was counting the 387. We knew kind of what the program was. Is there something changed in Washington's proposal now that all of a sudden that we have to developing language now, but it's not developed a lot earlier that was already in the bills for that 408? Are those changes that need to be made?
Maybe one of you can respond. It was my understanding that you're working on the language, but. Maybe you can give us an update.
Sure, Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg. There is actually maintenance of effort language in the governor's budget bill related to this. It just needed a little updating for some new findings, and that's what we're virtually done doing that. So we will share that language as soon as possible.
Well, the Health and Human Services, Health and Human Services is before finance tomorrow, and so would that, I mean, we want to have that language ready. Is it available for tomorrow for Representative Carlson's committee tomorrow morning?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we maybe get a firm answer, because we go in at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and
sure.
Well, that would be helpful if it were there.
Thank you.
So, if you could let our committee staff, Joanna Dornfeld, know where the language is, or communicate it to her by email or something. With that, if there are no further questions, Senator, shall we adjourn? That meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.